Hello. This is the KPFK Finance Committee meeting. It is July 8th. It is 2:05. We're concurrently streaming this at KPFTX. Is that right, Dave? Is that what you wanted to hear?
Kim, it's kpftx.org. Don't forget the .org.
Okay, thank you. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, that's
so. Anybody out there, you know, anybody who wants to listen, of course you can't hear it yet, but anyways, it's there and it will be there as an audio. We generally try and stream this meeting for the future. So I'm going to call the roll. Grace Aaron.
Here.
Okay. Kim Aaron.
Here.
Alan Beek.
Here.
Fred Blair.
Presente.
Bella DeSoto.
Here.
Dave Johnson.
I'm here.
Steve Kaiser. Kim Kaufman. I am the chair and the secretary. I am here. Michelle Manos. Michael Novick.
Present.
Janine Rohn. Polina Vasiliev. And John Wanger.
Present.
Hi, John. And Barry Brooks.
Present.
Hello, Barry. Hello. Okay, we have quorum. I just want to say that Michelle Manos, unless she shows up today, I have emailed her and said that she's missed at least two consecutive meetings. But I know two for sure. And I just said if she didn't show up today, she would no longer be an official member of this committee. She could certainly attend any meeting she wanted, but she wouldn't have voting rights. So there's that. So can I get a motion to approve the agenda? Does everybody have the agenda?
Yes.
Fred moves to approve the agenda.
Okay. Any questions, comments, issues? Want to move anything, add anything? Pardon? Okay. So I guess the agenda is approved.
This is Polina.
Hi, Polina. Fred is streaming it already, so...
Oh, no. Oh, great. Good.
So that worked out.
Wonderful. Yeah, because I was teaching class, so I couldn't start streaming. Thank you.
Yeah, we got quorum early, so Fred said I'll do it. So there we go.
Yay!
So did everybody receive the minutes? And can I get a motion to approve them?
Bella to the stack.
Go ahead, Bella.
Since we received so many documents in the last few minutes, first, I have had no time to even go over the agenda nor the minutes. And I have not been able to open up the budget that Anil sent, although I saved it.
Would people like me to read the agenda out loud for the stream?
That would be good. You did that last time.
Is everybody else okay with that?
Yeah,
that
would be great.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Call to order, roll call. We did that. Approve agenda. Number 3, approve minutes from June 10th. Postponed from last meeting, approve Alan Beek's notes from previous meetings. Number 4, this is an announcement. that I have set a continuation meeting for a week from today at our regular time at 4 o'clock, because as I suspected, if we got a budget, it would be late, or, you know, we'd be getting it today, not when we asked 2 days ago. So we can vote on that when we get to it. Number five, report from GM or business manager or development director. Number six, review May 2020 NIDA, P&Ls, and other documents. Seven, discussion of 2021 budget. Number eight, Fred report from the NFC, if any. And then recess to continuation meeting next Wednesday. And then I put down a closed session meeting, optional, if we want to do that. And that's it.
Good.
Okay, moving on. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
Move to approve.
You mean approve the agenda?
No, approve. We already approved the agenda, or nobody said anything, so
okay.
That was approved. So
we have not done over the minutes. We have not done over the minutes, Kim.
We're not going to go over the minutes. That's for you to read. We'd just the attendance and the motions we passed or didn't pass from the last meeting.
Okay. I move that we postpone to approving any minutes at this moment. For the 15th, to approve them.
This is Ken. I object. I think we should take a motion to approve the minutes. And if somebody doesn't want to approve them, they can vote no.
Right. We can always change it when you get a chance to read them. They're very short.
Point of information, ready? Kim.
Yeah.
We have two sets of minutes. You provided a set of minutes, and we also have a set from Alan Beek. So we're talking about your
Okay. So I am the secretary now. As I said at the last meeting, I read Robert's rules, and it said that in committees, the chair of the committee should be the secretary. So I am now the secretary. We have the next item to decide what to do with Alan's notes. And for the past however long we want to go back. So I am just suggesting we approve my minutes from last month's meeting.
Fred,
those are the only ones on the table right now.
Fred moves that we approve Kim's minutes from the last meeting.
Okay, well, thank you. Bella's objecting. She wants to postpone, so we're going to take a vote now on postponing the...
No. I was confused, too, because there were two sets of minutes, and Fred just asked the question. So I can approve your minutes, but we should not approve Alan Beek's minutes at this time.
Okay. We'll push it off to next week.
Question?
No.
Could I just have a couple of minutes to read them? They're pretty short. I think in about 2 minutes I can read them, and then I'll know whether I want to vote to approve or not.
Good.
It's sort of unanimous. I mean, if you... what do you want to do, people? Pardon me?
We have a motion on the floor to approve Kim Kaufman's minutes. That's all we're talking about. If you have more than one objection, let's vote. If you don't want to approve
let John read the damn minutes. Let John read the darn minutes.
Read them. No, just they were distributed. Let's vote on it.
Let's vote on the minutes.
Okay. Yes to approve. Grace Aaron.
Yes.
Ken.
Yes.
Alan Beek.
Yes.
Fred Blair.
Yes.
Bella.
Abstain.
Okay. Dave Johnson.
Yes.
Steve Kaiser? Not here. Kim Kaufman votes yes. Michael Michelle Manos, not here. Michael Novick.
Yes.
Janine Roan, not here. Paulina.
Yes, Paulina votes yes.
And John Wanger.
Abstain.
Hello.
Okay, so those are approved. And
Kaiser just voice came in.
I just came in, yeah. Steve Kaiser's here.
Okay, well, we just voted to approve the minutes. And do we want to postpone Alan Speaks to next month?
So moved.
Yes.
Okay. So I have...
Kim asked if there are any objections.
Yeah, okay. Any objections? Okay.
No.
So I set a continuation meeting for a week from today. Do people want to keep that meeting or not? What? Let's have a little discussion. Now, one at a time, or I'm going to start muting people. I'll take a stack.
Fred.
Okay, Fred.
Michael.
Anyone else?
Michael.
Okay. Okay.
Steve says yes.
No, we're taking a stack. Fred,
oh, okay.
Michael, anybody else? Okay, Fred, go ahead.
It seems the reason for the continuation meeting on the 15th was to, if we didn't, it was in anticipation of not getting a budget at this meeting. Since we have a budget, it seems like it's superfluous at this point in time to have that meeting on the 15th. That's it.
Well, Fred... No, okay. I'm just going to interject that it was not in anticipation of not receiving a budget. It was in anticipating of receiving a budget and a couple of hours before the meeting. I looked at it, but I haven't had a chance to really review it. And I have a lot of, you know, issues with it. So I, you know, there. Okay, Michael Novick next.
Bella, to the staff.
What time is the meeting next Wednesday being proposed for?
4:00 regular time.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make sure it was on the calendar. Okay, Bella?
Yes. It's not just for the budget. We have many issues with all the documentation that has been submitted. And yesterday I submitted a list of questions, concerns, and the fact that we did not receive general letters. So there's a lot to go over by the 15th, because as expected, we would be getting a document very late, as usual. So the 15th is really for clarifying and going over a number of issues, not just the budget. Budget
right.
Being an important one.
Right, exactly. Anyone else? We ready to vote?
Paulina, does that?
Go ahead, Paulina.
Would it be possible to invite our general manager and our business manager, either one or both, to the next meeting so that we can actually ask them questions about the budget?
Absolutely, and Christine Blasdale as well. Since, you know,
good.
Her job description says that, she, you know, budgeting is part of her job description.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I didn't do it today because I didn't know if we were going to get a budget. So, but absolutely.
Bella, to the stack, please, Kim, real quick. I wanted to point something out.
Okay.
Yes. I know that when I exposed the situation of Christine Blasdale's development director, she didn't just get that title. Of course, she got that title some years ago. There's a history behind that. But the point is that in her description, per Aniel, she has the purview of the budget. In the contract of Aniel Zufield, per contract, he has the supervision and the duty to perform and conduct and submit budget. So we have some contradictions, we have some conflict, And this needs to be cleared up as soon as possible. It is the GM, not
okay,
the developer.
Okay. All right, Bella. Okay. Are we ready to vote?
John, for the queue.
Go ahead, Wenger.
Perhaps ask if there's any objection to save the time of a vote. If there's no objection, we can move on.
Okay. Any objection to meeting next week? I personally think we have a whole lot of work to do. You know, people are saying we're in dire financial situation, and I agree with that. I just think now is the time to do the work that we have on the plate. I mean, somebody's got to do this stuff, and I don't want to wait until another meeting in August. I don't think that's prudent. I think it's really time to, you know, make a budget and study our present financials and all that.
Could we call the question? Just see if there's any objection.
Okay. Any objection? Okay, great. Barry, you are invited, and I'm going to invite Annyeong and Christine as well, because they are an integral part of this, and the real work of a budget is done in the Finance Committee, not at the LSB. So, okay, moving on.
I'm sorry, point of information, is that posted already to KPSDX?
Yes.
Yep.
Great, thank you.
Okay, report from Barry, if you have something. You'd like to?
Okay. I'm going to give you a recap of what our fund drive did in March, just for those who didn't get it. The February fund drive that ended on March 8th, the goal was $650,000. We raised $517,761.88, and we had an achievement rate of 0.7966, a daily average of 15,000.
What's an achievement rate?
Achievement rate, what percentage did we collect on each donation?
Fulfillment.
Of all the donations.
Fulfillment. 79% fulfillment for that fund drive?
That's correct.
Okay.
Can I ask to have that report in writing? It's too hard to catch and write down.
Okay, I sent a copy to Kim Allen, so you can get it.
I haven't
her.
Seen it.
I sent it to you. And then can I go ahead?
Yes.
And
can he speak louder?
Bella, stop.
Sure.
I cannot hear him.
The daily average, Bella, was $15,228.29. Okay? Now, we had
I barely hear
drive.
You.
We had
very
a fund drive in May. Started on May 19th, and it ended on June 30th.
May 19th to June 30th.
43 days.
Actually, wait. It started April 27th. Through May 18th on MEMSIS, right?
No, the fund drive that we started was on May 19th for Allegiant.
It was a soft drive. It was a soft drive earlier.
Yeah, for like 3 weeks before that, right, Barry?
Yeah, it was just a soft drive, yeah. It wasn't really a full fund drive, right? You're right. You're correct. So, as of today, the total collected was $309,000.
Hold on, one second, Barry. Everybody, please mute. And Barry, can you speak into the phone or something?
That's what I'm doing.
Can I ask to have this report in writing instead?
Yeah, I'll send a copy out tomorrow, Alan.
So is tomorrow.
Okay, so the total raise for that fund drive from May 19th to June 30th was $309,262.45.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and we had a fulfillment rate of 0.82%, which is 82%.
We had 1,819 units or count of donations.
1,800 and what?
And 19 donations. That average, the pledge average was $150.31.
So, yeah. I don't have to. Somebody can do the math on how many days and all that. I can't do it right now, but. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, and then looking at the P&L for the 8 months ended May 31st, 2020, listener support revenue is down by 15% from last year. Website income is down 48% from last year. And then the total revenue is down 26% from last year. Now, for expenses, salaries in relation to last year, which was as of May, salaries are up in expenditures by 2%. The total personnel cost in relation to last year is up by 3%. But the total operating cost for the 8 months ended May 31st is down 2%. So that's a good part. That's a good thing. Premiums, we have cut back our premiums tremendously, and they are down 26% from last year. As of today, we have been able, because of the PPP funding that we got from the federal government, the CARES Act, we were able to pay off some bills, and our accounts payable as of today, the total outstanding is $5,955.78.
That including all of the central services to the national office and
no,
PRA?
That just includes outside vendors, not the... Mm-hmm. The national office, but we were able to make a central services payment in June for $36,829.
And do we have agreement that we will get this report in writing, please?
Yes, Alan, we do. He said he would send it tomorrow.
Thank you.
Also, Alan... Fred here. Also, Alan, this is being recorded, so please stop breaking in. You can listen to it, the recording.
Yes, you can listen on the audio. It'll sound a lot better.
Listening to it is not as good as reading it.
Okay,
You get both, Alan.
Okay. What else?
Let's see. Now, I did send you guys a preliminary budget, and I just want to let you know that it does not include a reduction in the personnel costs or salaries because that has to be approved by the union. So that, Aniel, the general manager, is in negotiation with that. I don't know where that's going to end, but we also have to keep in mind that in order for us to hold on to the PPP federal government funding, there's a clause in which you have to maintain your status payroll if you don't want that money to turn into a loan where you have to pay it back. So the clause is they don't want you to have any layoffs if you want to keep that PPP funding together without having to pay it back. Okay, then also, and we didn't know how to gauge the broadcasting license that KPFK is going to pay next year. So that's up in the air. We don't know what the legal costs associated with the renewal is going to be. So that's something that we didn't include in the budget. I did include a $46,000 payback of the loan, of the FJC loan for KPFK's portion. And then also
payback of the loan or interest?
Payback of the interest. Of the interest on the loan, yes.
Pull up your account and see if there's a 1098.
So concerning payroll, as far as cutting back permanent employees, we haven't gotten into the situation where we have decided what the severance pay cost is going to be, the health benefit cost is going to be, and the vacation cost is going to be. So we didn't do any laying off of people in this particular budget. In this particular budget, the premiums were cut back by 60%, and the volunteer and board operator payroll hours were reduced by 30%. And then we also cut back the postage and shipping by 30% in this budget. And also local and state travel was cut back. And then also for the KPFK independent contractors compensation was also decreased by 35%. So that's just some of the little factors involved with this particular budget. It's a preliminary budget. It's not ready for presentation, but it's something that you guys can look at and can review. And that's it for my reporting for this time.
Steve, to the stack, please.
Can I just ask one question, Barry? What are the bank balances?
Oh, okay, yeah. As of today, our bank balance is at 30. Let's see.
What?
28,321.66 today.
28,321.66. Uh-huh, okay. And the other accounts?
In our savings account, we have $1,100 in the savings account.
Uh huh.
In the video account, we have I believe it's $104 in the video project account, and then in the solar project account, I think we have $7,000 in that account.
$70,000.
No, 7,000.
7,000.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
What account is that, please?
Bella, I will put you on the stack. I heard, I think, Steve Kaiser first, and then you're next.
Then Ken.
Okay.
Are we ready to go, Ken?
Yep, go ahead, Steve.
Okay.
And Michael.
Barry, about the PPP funds, how much do we get for KPFK in that?
Okay, under the PPP guidelines of the federal government, we were allowed 2 months of payroll, and also we were allowed payment of our health benefits for the employees. So we don't have to pay that for 2 months.
So that, who paid it? Was it paid directly by the federal government?
Correct. It, not directly. The money was put in a
escrow account.
An escrow account. There you go.
And okay.
Netta draws off of it as we do our payroll.
So it's 100% of the PPP funds is used for personnel, either paying them or paying benefits for them.
Correct. Health benefits.
Oh, that's correct.
Right.
But
and
yeah, I don't think that's correct either, but whatever.
This is Grace. She can put me on the stack for later.
Okay.
Okay, so if funds are used like this, we have the prospect of the debt being forgiven if they're used in this dedicated fashion. Is that right?
Yes, my understanding is the funds are used in that fashion, and if we don't lay anybody off, and
now
we keep our current payroll as status quo. Then
okay, so we can't reduce hours either for personnel. We have to keep them at the level of employment that they were before. Is that right?
That's incorrect information. When I get to the stack, I'll explain.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, I'm good for now. Thank you.
Add Fred
okay,
to the stack.
Could
you add Fred to the stack also?
Yes. Okay, Bella's next.
It's important that Grace clarifies this PPP funding
is very critical. I will go after her, please.
You just took your turn.
No, I did not. I want her to clarify what was just said. It's
well, just put her back
critical.
On the stack.
I will, unless somebody else wants to speak who hasn't spoken yet.
Jay for the stack.
Okay. Ken, go ahead.
Okay. Let me make sure I'm not muted. Okay, yeah.
You're not.
Hi, Barry. My question is, I have a lot of questions, but let me just limit it to this. Can you report on the performance of the Allegiance, what you call soft drive? When did it start? When did it end? What did it gross? What's the daily total? And what does it cost to implement?
I don't have those numbers for the soft drive. I'll have to go to the donor box to actually pull that data out. But for the fund drive that we went from May 19th through June 30th, that's what I reported on. So I'll have to get that to you for the soft drive.
Okay, and just so since I didn't get an answer there, a fast question. You're saying that the government is going to cover 2 months of payment on everybody's salary and medical benefits, union and non-union. And after the 2 months, then we can start firing people. Is that correct?
That's my understanding. That's what Netta told me, Tamara Sadowski. That's what she told me, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Michael Novick?
I'm wondering if you can break down in terms of the total payroll costs you talked about. What part of the payroll is people who are not covered by the union contract? In other words, people who are either part-time and not covered, consultants, or management. What portion of the entire payroll amount is not covered by the contract?
As far as my understanding is, whatever the payroll register total is, that's what they're covering. That includes union employees and non-union employees.
No, I'm not asking about the PPP. I'm saying in terms of our expenses through May 31st, you said we reduced some expenses by 2%, payroll went up by 2%. I'm saying what part of the total payroll expense is not covered by the union contract employees? In other words, people who are either have too few hours to be covered, or people who are consultants or management. How much of the total?
That's probably like 2% of the total payroll. It's just those people who are on part-time are on part-time.
And I'm saying including consultants and management, they're not covered by the contract.
Correct.
You're saying that's only 2% of the only 2% of the entire payroll?
Right, only 2%.
I find that hard to believe, but okay.
I do too. So maybe
because we've cut back our independent contractors. We don't even have any invoices for independent contractors now. So it's just almost a zero now.
Well, how many people are in management? Barry, we asked for a list of all the employees last month, and we haven't gotten that. Just for the record.
I don't remember you seeing that. But you wanted a list of all the employees. I didn't hear that.
Barry, can you tell us who's not union offhand?
Well, the people that are in management, like myself,
Christine, Terry Guy, Maggie LaPique, Anielle, and Kevin Fleming.
No. Maggie and Terry are in the union.
Yeah, Maggie is in the union. Terry's in the union. I think Christine's in the union, too.
Okay.
Really?
Christine is all over in the union. Christine took a buyout as a staff member a couple years ago. She was rehired as management. She's just management.
Okay.
Well, that's what should happen, Michael. We don't know yet. Right?
How about just average workers, producers and such? Are any of them non-union?
No. Well, except for one. No.
Okay. answers that. Yeah. Thank you.
Grace is next. Are you done, Michael?
Okay, first of all, from what I've heard, and I haven't studied this really carefully, but from what I've heard, the rules have changed regarding what's forgivable in the PPP loan. What's forgivable is it can be up to 60% of it used for payroll and 40% for operating expenses, which would be electricity, utilities, and the interest on the loan would be included because it's a mortgage. So it's equal to rent. It's an operating procedure. The next thing is a company that receives the PPP funding is allowed to lay off up to 10% of staff during the first 2 months of receiving the funding. And across Pacifica, the PPP funding was given to Pacifica, not specifically to any station. So as much as a 30% cut in payroll would probably be under 10% of the employees of the entire foundation. Now, and I think it was correctly stated that this PPP funding covers two payrolls, and as long as not more than 10% of the entire of all the employees of the foundation are not laid off, the PPP funding will be forgiven. It will be considered a grant, and there is no restriction on layoffs after the two-month period. Now, somebody else can research this, but I'm pretty sure that what I'm saying is accurate.
So that's 4 weeks, two payrolls.
2 months of payroll, not two payrolls, 2 months.
Oh, you said two payrolls. Okay, 2 months, that's better.
Okay, that's a mistake.
Yeah.
2 months of payroll.
Bella's on the stack.
No, Fred's next.
Okay. Do I have the floor?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I assume that what Grace has just stated is more definitive than what I'm going to say. On June 23rd, the NFC had a meeting where that was, the day that we got the PPP loan, and Lydia Brazone was the interim executive director, and Anita Sims from NEDA gave a presentation about the PPP loan. And so that was the first instance where we got information, and I think what Grace has stated has probably been refined and more definitive than what I have to say. The basics of the loan was we got a $1.2 million PPP loan through a local bank, and I believe it is North Carolina or South Carolina. It's the bank was related to NEDA, and that's how we finally got the loan. At the time, we were told on the NFC meeting that of the $1.2 million, $1 million was forgivable. And it all had to be based on, that money had to be all used for payroll. I think Grace has made some modifications to that or indicated there are modifications. Looking at this, at a more global, point of view for Pacifica basically spends almost $1 million a month on payroll. So this $1 million, even though it has to be spent over 2 months, is only going to basically last for payroll for the first month or so. I don't know if our payroll is going to go down now. We're attempting to do reductions. I was the first on the stack to ask a question of Anita Sims at that meeting. And the question I asked Anita is something for us to think about, and I think it's important. And that is, I noted that KPFK, my station, spent on payroll over the months of April and May approximately $300,000. I wanted to know that with this loan, with this PPP money, if we could spend any of that money on the previous payrolls that we've essentially spent all the money that we took in during the 2 months of April and May on payroll and nothing else. And I wanted to see if we could recover some of that money to pay some of our other fixed expenses. And Anita Sims seemed to indicate that we couldn't spend any money on back payroll at this point. It has to be on payroll going forwards. The way I'm looking at this PPP loan is that any money that we take in since we've gotten the PPP loan, since we have payroll money in this bank account, we can use any new money that comes in to pay fixed expenses or fixed debt that we have. But we're still not in a good financial situation. So I'm going to open up. I guess this should have been part of my report on the NFC, but I just wanted to state these facts. Okay, I'm finished, Kim.
Okay, Dave, you're next.
Thank you, Barry.
Yes.
I had a question for you when you first started speaking. You mentioned the March 8th fund drive. That was the regular fund drive we had at the beginning of the year. And I believe you said we raised $572,000.
No, that was 517.
Oh, 517. Thank you. Having trouble hearing you.
517, 761.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. Was the goal on that drive $650,000, as I recall?
That's correct. Uh-huh.
Okay, and that was a standard fund drive we had where we had hosts bringing in people and having guests offer books that they've written and all that kind of thing. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. That's prior to the COVID-19.
Yeah, so when we ran the regular fund drive at the beginning of the year in our normal methodology, we raised $517,000 even though the goal was $650,000. So that's at a rate of just below 80%. I think you said 79%. Is that all correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And then the fund drive that ran from May 19th to June 30th, I believe you said that raised $309,000. Is that correct?
$309,262, yes.
Yeah, 262. So that one went on for a long time. That was the soft drive where hosts weren't having guests in offering books and so forth, which is the drive that we've had going on up until recently, I guess. So that raised about half of what we normally raise. Normally it seems like we raise about 650, even though this one at the beginning of the year only made it up to 517. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So how long did management continue running the so-called soft drive after seeing how miserable it was doing? And the other question is, why wasn't the soft drive stopped and hosts allowed to start bringing in people to offer books and other premiums? Why wasn't that correction made during the middle of this? Why not? I mean, these hosts are doing these shows from home, and it seems like we could still offer premiums from these people if they were doing an interview, on the telephone even. Is there any answer to that, why management didn't switch over to our standard methodology, since this was failing so poorly?
That's something you'd have to ask Aniel about. He's the one who decided to do the soft drive up until May 19th, and then we went into somewhat of a more aggressive drive on May 19th, and then it ended on June 30th.
Oh yeah, Aniel. Is Aniel the general manager?
That's correct. Also, I want to let you know, Dave, David, during the soft drive, the Brent Michael Phillips secret pact, it brought in $4,312 during the soft drive.
Nice. Yeah, that's great. So Aniel, being the general manager, is the only one that can really answer my question. Is that basically what we're saying here?
Well, of course, on your current question, yes. But
I'm just getting this on the record, Barry, for people that are listening to the stream. And
okay.
So we asked the general manager to attend every finance committee meeting. Isn't that correct? Maybe the chair could answer that. I think Barry probably knows. We asked him to attend the meeting. We even scheduled meetings at 4 o'clock in the afternoon when we were still meeting at the station, just so management people such as yourself, Barry, can join our meeting and be there even on, the company time. And it just
seems
ridiculous that we can't seem to get anything accomplished because our general manager show up at our finance meetings and doesn't answer our questions.
Barry always shows up, though.
That's all I have for now, Kim.
Okay, Beth.
Just a footnote that I just want to let you know that Aniel just lost his father, so that's part of the reason why he's not at this meeting. He lost his father in a car accident. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Offer him our condolences.
Please.
Bell is next.
Thank you. There are so many questions. I'm glad that Grace cleared that up regarding the PPP funds. This is only going to buy us 1 month. We still do not have an accounts payable aging report. What that means is that we do not know what our payout responsibilities are on a monthly basis. As long as we continue on this path, we operate in a blind, with a huge blind spot. And so this also affects the budget, if any budget is going to be done, because no one seems to have an accurate number of what is needed per month to cover overhead.
Bella, I gave you that information last meeting in June. I gave you all that information regarding accounts payable, the central services that we were behind on. I gave you that total, okay?
Barry, I have the floor, Barry. Barry, I have been requesting this for years, not just recently. An accurate accounts payable aging report. Do you know what that is? I know what that is, and what you have given us is not an accounts payable aging report. I'm not going to argue over that. Let me go over to a report that I prepared yesterday, and I sent it to the Finance Committee. Since October through May, our year-to-date payroll personnel costs, not including outside contractors, and other related expenditures, only salaries and benefits and taxes against gross revenue is at 69.32%. Now, 69.2% cannot be sustained, and the funds that we just received strictly for payroll will be absorbed in a month. The other thing is I did a monthly average of 2020 fiscal year through May 20. And our monthly average revenue is at $246,606. Okay, that is the number that does not lie. Then on the salaries, on the actual cost of salaries, all of that is $176,840 per month. That is the average, which is at 71.71%. Again, I bring you to the numbers that do not lie. And these are the numbers that we continue to see. And every month I come to this meeting, and I'm more disabled.
Can't do this back again.
And I feel more and more disabled every time I attend these meetings.
Okay, Bella,
so
can you wrap it up, please?
This is so ridiculous. It's unbelievable. that we continue to allow this station to do as it fits, as it wants, and we are not taking any actions. And the
Sarah,
Barry,
please.
I am wrapping it up. I am wrapping it up. Thank you. Barry, you said you did not receive the motions that were passed by the Finance Committee and ratified by the LSB. They were sent to you and Aniel several times in different forms. So you know that the request of a list of all the employees and unemployed was submitted to you. We have not received the information. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead, Kim.
I would advise anybody here who's got a long-winded complaint and a suggestion about what to do, put it in writing and distribute it to committee. You have our emails. Rather than taking up the time of the committee to try to educate us to your personal opinion or factual information, we're here to ask questions and make motions, not to give. That's all. I resent having to sit here and listen to somebody give a long, complex lecture. That's
okay,
all.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, I'd like to make a few comments. So going backwards here, well, first of all, I personally would like to know real numbers on all matters, not percentages, because that's only as good as what you're comparing it to, and we don't actually have anything good to compare stuff to because there's not a lot of, you know, solid ground. And I mean that specifically regarding the PPP. Okay, Pacifica got 1.2. So how much in real dollars does KPFK have? That's what I want to know. Perhaps Fred can ask the NFC, find out at the NFC for us, but that's where I'd like to start in terms of, you know, talking about actual expenses. So, Barry, you said that Christine brought in $4,312 from all of her Brent, whatever it is, pitching during the soft drive.
Yeah, the Brent Michael Phillips brought in $4,312, and the KPFK Sustainer Circle brought in $32,309.23.
Okay, but those are two absolutely separate things.
Correct. Uh-huh.
Okay. But that 32K number is nice to have. That was in April, right? Or May?
Right.
April?
That was in April.
Okay. So, yes.
For me, it would help if we just rounded it to the nearest dollar, because these numbers are hard to comprehend verbally. So
this is not a point of procedure, Wenger. This is not a point of procedure. I'll put you on the stack after me. So the soft drive went on from April 27th to May 18th. I can't do the math on how many days that is, but it seems like about 3 weeks. And Christine brought in $4,312 in that time. That's something we really need to think about and take a look at. Like, what's going on with this? And I'd like to know how many times it was played during those 3 weeks.
Or
7 days a week. We'll take this up in a little bit, but that just number sort of stuck out at me. Okay, that's it right now. I'll have more stuff later. Ken, also, we have, for the soft drive, Fred sent out the last of the MEMSIS report on April 27th to May 18th. I have it in my file, and I'm sure Fred does, so that may be what you want. I'll send it out after.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So I guess that's it for right now.
Am I in the queue?
Yes. Go ahead.
Bolina would like to be on the stack at the end.
Okay.
Yeah. I would prefer numbers be rounded to the nearest dollar. For the audio thing, if we get that in writing, that's great. We have the decimal points in writing, but for now, I prefer it in rounded dollars. I wonder how others feel about this.
Yes,
definitely. Makes it easier to comprehend.
I absolutely agree. When I look at the spreadsheets, I go through and globally take out all the decimal points for myself. If it's a couple of dollars off, I don't care. But I go blind looking at it, and I certainly don't need to hear it either. I agree with Wenger. I mean, just for ease of reporting, Barry, we can skip the cents.
Do the nearest 100, as far as I'm concerned.
That might be better, too. That's a thought.
Because we do need the numbers in writing, but, we're hearing this, and that makes it a little more difficult. But let's start with no cents. Okay, Paulina's next.
Thank you. Barry, I'm looking at the document you sent. It's titled KPFK Historical Age Trial Balance, June 2020. I see that this is a trial balance for accounts for payables, right, for accounts payable for PM. How about receivables? Do we have that? And also, how often do you do reconciliation with the general ledger? And how can we, I believe this committee has requested access to the general ledger on more than one occasion, Bella De Soto being one of those people, and I think Kim Kaufman as well. Thank you.
Okay. As far as the general ledger, I gave all the information regarding the station inspection to Kim Kaufman for the fiscal year 2018, 2019,
great,
and 2020.
Appreciate it. And how about reconciliations? Yeah, and trial balance.
The reconciliations are done once a month for the savings account and the operating administration account. There is an aging report in Great Plains that I did hand out the last finance committee meeting. And like I said to you today, because of the PPP funding, it gave us some breathing room to pay off some bills. So now we owe
$5,955. Barry, thank you. I'm looking at that. Sorry to interrupt you. I'm looking at that report. I'm just wondering, forgive me if I'm just dumb and I'm only learning this recently, but shouldn't there be a trial balance, an aging report also for receivables?
No,
we don't have receivables.
We don't have receivables.
Got it. Thank
all
you.
The people have paid their bill, their invoice.
Understood. Okay.
Paulina, our and anybody else, our revenue is on a cash basis. Our expenses are on an accrual basis.
Understood.
So,
thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Therefore, no way to report. Yeah, makes sense.
Can we move on? Go ahead.
Thank you. So we never, to Paulina, we never have received the general ledgers that we needed, one for fiscal year 18, one for fiscal year 19, and one through May 20.
Bella, I'm going to cut you off here. Because we have received them. I don't know why they're called a trial balance, but what we got is the general ledger.
It's a difference between a general ledger and a trial balance. And apparently you do not know what the difference is. And by the way, we do have accounts receivable. That accounts receivable is the bill made. when people call in and they pledge and they do not pay with credit card, that becomes an accounts receivable.
Okay. Can we move on? Ken said we don't need a lesson in bookkeeping today. That's not what we do here. Okay.
You do not care. You do not care.
We can talk about it later. We have Barry on the phone here.
You do not want to
Bella,
discuss it.
I'm going to mute you. Is everybody ready to move on here?
Yes,
or
please.
Do you want a lecture? Okay.
Let's move on.
Okay. I would like to address something in the P&L, the recent P&L. For some reason, Barry, in this, the May 31st P&L that we got from NIDA, there was, and this is for the May 31 P&L. There was now in March, a $119,000 website revenue in March. I don't see that as legitimate in any way. We did not receive $119,000 of website income in March. In our revenue, every cell we have on P&L is supposed to represent actual income that came in that month. What you did is you plopped $119,000 in there and you subtracted it from what had been that the listener support, thereby throwing off our listener support. And I'll deal with last year's website so-called revenue in a moment. But, you know, this is not, I don't understand. Let me ask you, what was your reasoning? Because I don't see it.
Right now, website income gets put into listener support income. So
right.
What happens is,
every month,
forward,
correct? Every month it goes in there. Every month it comes down from
the
PayPal.
Listener support revenue, right. But
right.
Terry is supposed to give me that number. He wasn't able to provide that number to me. And then that's when he said, okay, Barry, for this year, since January, there's $119,000 of website income that's in listener support category.
Okay.
I did the reclassification, okay?
Okay. Yeah. I this doesn't work for me. Because it's already in every listener support for the month. As far as I'm concerned, you know, when I was first treasurer, I used to ask the business manager, hey, what's, you know, can you break out the web income? And I realized that it was too burdensome and it wasn't necessary. I mean, basically, at the end of the year, you go down, you say, hey, Terry, how much do we bring in from website income this year? He gives you a figure, and you figure, okay, it's about 10%. End of story. We don't need it broken out every month. And to put $119,000, I don't know how you can say you reconcile the bank accounts and then plop $119,000 in there, you know, 2 months later. I mean, and then subtract from our listener revenue, because when we make a budget, I don't know about you, but I look at those numbers of what actually came in, you know, during that month. So for my personal, what I'm looking at, I took it out. And I put it back in March.
Because it's all in the listener support income.
Yes, so $119,000. No, you don't. You don't put it in there, Barry. You can just tell
yes,
us. Hey, I
That's
asked Barry,
income.
And here's the number.
That is website income, okay?
No, it's already been included every month. Can anybody else help me out here? Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
I don't yet.
I think I understand what you're saying, Kim. I don't know.
It doesn't represent $119,000 that came in March. That's a fake number. That's a cell that has no relatable, you know, there's no $119,000 deposit in the bank, in the general ledger, or in our bank statement. Anyway.
Well, I have a question.
$119,000 is in our bank account. What are you talking about?
Yeah, where did it come in? It came in October, November, December, January, February. You have a deposit of $119,000 in March that you entered in May. Why wasn't it entered in May, March, if it came in March?
It's called accumulation over the month, okay? Terry
Pardon
cannot
me?
Give me the number. It's called an accumulation over the month. Terry cannot give me the website income on a month-to-month basis.
I understand that, but you don't make it up by plopping it in March.
You rather see it all in listener support income and zero for website income. Is that what you want to see?
Correct. 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 Or you can tell us.
Yeah.
You
Michael,
can
tell us.
Go ahead.
Yeah, John,
somebody before
John,
Michael. Okay, Wenger and then Novick.
I guess the question is, where does Terry Guy get the website income figures from? Does he get it from Ali Lexa?
No.
The question is this. If it's available on a monthly basis, then
I would like
to see the data. Well, why can't it be? The question is this. If it's done by computers, it should be possible to get it on a monthly basis, even a daily basis.
Not a
computers
method.
Computers can do this. Why are we getting it monthly? I want it monthly.
Okay. I just said my experience is, it's very burdensome. Maybe with this allegiance, maybe when it's up to scale, it can do that. Right now, basically, it's about 10% of our general listener support. And I'm not asking staff to do any more work on stuff that we don't need. It's not going to affect how we make a budget at this point, because there's so much else that's so much more problematic. This is the least. But I don't want to see $119,000 in there for no good reason, throwing off our actual per-date listener support, which is the number that we look at to compare.
May I respond? May I respond?
Okay.
I'm a computer guy, and my guess is that Ali could automate this in less than 1 hour's work. I think it would be reasonable to ask him how long it would take him to do it,
no.
And if it's hard or easy. You're saying no before I finish my thought. The fact is, if he can do it in 1 hour, then we got monthly reports going to Terry, coming to us, whatever. Actually, better to go directly to the finance committee just so we have it. We're lacking numbers because we're in the Stone Ages, because we're not asking smart enough questions. I think it's easy to do. Let's ask. That's all.
First of all,
in the stack?
From Ali Lexa.
Excuse me.
Go ahead, Novick. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you. Just trying to actually respond to everything everybody said. So, to me, the point is we need to understand our cash flow, because we are in critical shape. Apart from the PPP money, we have to be able to meet our payroll on a consistent basis. So we do need to know what portion of our cash flow is coming in month to month from the web, apart from the fund drives or appeals over the air. It's significant information that we should know, but putting it in a lump sum over a 5 or 6 month accumulation is misleading and not helpful. So if it is possible to get a monthly, that would be desirable to break out the web income, because we want to try to increase our web income. We want to try to increase all of our income from non-fund drive, non-over-the-airwave pleading. So if we can see that, in fact, in 1 month, somehow our web income increased, actually, that would be good information to have. And in general, every month we need to know how much actual cash money is coming in to cover our actual expenses during that month. for the kind of management we're talking about, we're often in the condition of robbing Peter to pay Paul, deferring some payments to make the ones that are more critical. So we do need to know how much money is coming in from what source every month. And I don't think that should be onerous, because the money that comes in on the web is basically donations through a portal on the web to an account. And there's got to be a result of that on a daily basis or a monthly basis. I can't believe that it's not available in a fairly straightforward fashion.
Steve, to the stack.
John, into the queue.
Bella, to the stack.
Go ahead.
Okay, who's up? Kim?
What? Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, it's mine. Okay. Barry, have you discussed this with Ali? Did he explain to you why it's kind of onerous to get it on a monthly basis?
No, I was asking Terry about it. I told him that I needed it on a month-to-month basis, but he doesn't seem to be able to come up with the figure every month. So.
Well, is he the guy in the loop on the website data?
As far as I understand, yeah.
Well, have you thought about talking to Ali about this? Because she seems to be the computer guy in all our imaginations.
Yeah, I haven't spoken to Ali, but...
Okay. If you could, if you get a chance, that might satisfy a lot of people. I'd like to see the monthly reporting.
Yeah, I'll ask Ali next time.
Okay. Barry, I'd also like to ask, the PPP money is going to last the end of July. Is that right? So in August, we're trying to find a new way to meet the payroll? Is that the timeline?
Let's see. The last payroll was the first payroll that we took out of the PPP funding for. So it would be 1, 2, 3. It would be on August 15th, I believe.
Okay, the middle of August. Yeah. All right, so we got about a month or about 5 weeks. And are we contemplating reducing time, you know, like Leslie Radford did years ago, or are we going to lay off some of our personnel, and is that a doable in light of the union requirements?
As far as I understand, that Aniello's in negotiating with the union as far as what he's going to do to lay off people. If we are going to lay off anybody, we drastically cut back the hours on part-time work and people that are on part-time, and then also volunteers. So.
Okay, if we're going to get together next week, is there a possibility to get feedback from Aniello on that so we know what to expect personnel costs in a month?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. I'm done.
Ken, to the stack, please.
Okay, we got Wenger, Bella, Ken, and then me.
Oh, I haven't spoken in a long time, but I just want to get. All right, I'll wait.
Oh,
go ahead.
Yeah.
Since I'm a computer guy, I really think that the account shows the money as soon as the payment method puts it in, probably through credit cards in the most cases, debit cards. So I think that the account can be looked at on almost instantaneous balance basis, and I think Ali can do it. I think that privilege could be given to Kim, the treasurer, to Fred, the treasurer, to Kim, the head of the finance committee, and to Barry Brooks, the business manager, and maybe if it's not secret, it could be given to the finance committee. I think we can do it. I think it's trivial. Just a question of station politics to see who gets it done.
Bella's next.
Fred,
thank
to
you.
The stack.
For many years, Terry Guy's argument has been that Memphis does not move fast enough. So the reports from Memphis never, ever make it in time to the accounting department, meaning the business manager. That has been understood for many years. I've written about this. I have complained about this. I know that we now have allegiance. However, I'm very concerned. I agree with you, Kim, fully, and Michael, and everybody, John Wenger. This information should not be held siege to Memphis. So we should be getting that information. And to make an accrual entry just like that, in such a significant amount on a monthly basis has been very deceiving, has been floating up our budget, our monthly revenue, et cetera. And then I'm very concerned how the bill me when people pledge and they say, okay, I don't have the cash now, please bill me. How are those entries recorded? It seems to me that they are not, and I have been arguing over this many years. This is accounts receivable, that we can account for it. Because if we set it up as accounts receivable, then we can gauge how it is being managed, reduced, until we recover the full amount. Many, many people pledge via bill me, and we are not talking about that ever. And that's
okay,
the accounts receivable area.
Okay. Thanks. Okay, thank you. Ken, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Barry, you mentioned that that certain amounts of the PPP monies was spent on payroll at KPFK. First question, who's controlling the disbursement of that money? Where is it being managed? Is it ANEL? Is it the IED? Where is it being controlled? And how much, Grace said it was allocated to, the grant was given to Pacifica. How much has been marked for KPFK? How much money do you have to cover payroll in June and July? So it sounds like you already have a certain amount of money that you've started to disperse. Could you groove us in on what's happening?
Yeah, Ken. The person that's in charge of disbursement of the money is Tamara Sadarsky at Meta. She's the one that takes care of the payments for health benefits and the payroll.
And how do you know how much has been allocated for KPFK?
I think, don't take me verbatim on this, but I believe KPFK got allocated $350,000, I believe. I'm not sure, though.
Okay, and what would, just wild guess, what is, as an example, June and July at current levels of employment? How much, is it $350,000 cover it or $330,000 cover it?
Yeah, it's about that amount for the 2 months, including health benefits and payroll, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'm next. I just want to, what Michael Novick brought up, there is a difference between web income that comes in for listener support and web income that comes in not in Fund Drive. And that's an even more different task to pull apart. I mean, if you look at the general ledger, you'll see all these credit card deposits. They automatically come into the bank account. And Terry has to mark each one and hook it up with a premium listener or whatever. And that's why it's a Terry issue, not an Alexa issue. I mean, PayPal, you know, I don't know whether, I assume it's Barry that goes up into PayPal and sees how much money is in there and downloads, you know, various amounts. But it's not broken out in those amounts. Again, that's what Terry does. And it doesn't differentiate between in between fund drives and not in between fund drives. All I can say is, you know, ask the GM whether Allegiance can do that. And let's leave it at that. I would just like to touch on 2019. Once again, okay, I sent you all out the 2020 budget from last December. If you look on the P&L sheet and look on the 2019 fulfillment, and I'm talking about this $230,000 website income from last year that I have said ever since I saw it at the end of last year, stuck in May, that this was not an
a proper charge. If you look at this budget that Barry sent out or Barry made, it has under 2019 fulfillment. For the year, it has the pledged amount, which is 2.697, and the paid amount, 2.407. And then if you look at the P&L, which is just sort of a summary, you'll see that the listener support is 2.7. The difference between 2.7, the listener support, and what came in through premiums and fund drives is 2.4. The difference, I didn't write it down, but as I recall, just a quick, you know, back of the envelope subtraction was about $325,000. Okay? My understanding, and especially based on what Barry said earlier, that $320,000 represents the monthly sustainer income, which is about $20,000 to $30,000 a month. Is that correct, Barry?
That's correct.
Right. Okay. So 2.7 equals all the money that actually came in from Fund Drive plus the sustainer for the whole year. So that's our revenue, 2.7. So again, this $231,000 so-called website income was another fantasy number that Barry went down, asked Terry, hey, what do we make this year in website income? And that number just got plopped in there. So in looking at our actual revenue for 2019, it's all minus $231,000. It's going to be a long time before we ever get an audit, but for our, you know, comparisons, you got to look at what our revenue minus 230. Maybe Steve Kaiser, mute yourself, or are you comment?
Yeah. No, I'm working. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I just want to make that point. We're looking at not like fuzzy numbers here a lot, and that's I'm just dealing with the big ones. Okay. Who was next? Fred was next.
I've forgotten what I was going to ask, so pass.
Okay, anybody else? We want to move on to discussion of the budget? Hello?
John to the queue.
Let's go to the budget.
Go ahead.
I think what's going to happen is that Aniel is going to be negotiating with the union, and he's going to have to look at this whole thing about how much money we're getting from the PPP and whether it's better to take the money with its restrictions or not to take it because of the restrictions. And he's going to go with taking the money, and all the stuff is going to get with the layoffs and stuff are going to get deferred until after the PPP grant expires and it does not turn into a loan. So that's what I predict is going to happen. It's all going to depend upon Aniel and the union. That'll be the rate limiting process. Done.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the budget. And I would like to say that I think we need better numbers. We need better numbers from the expenses. And just like, a lot of better numbers, because as I said, I've looked through the general ledger carefully. Well, not super carefully, but I've started, and we're comparing. There's a lot of what I've seen are misplaced expenses. So it's hard to compare so-called cuts in expenses when they weren't in the right place in the first place. I mean, if people want examples, I can give it or I can wait, but there's a lot of work to do here line by line. I mean, we just got this budget this morning. I personally, it takes me more than 10 minutes to look over a budget. So there's a lot. And I don't think we can put all of the eggs just in the layoffs because, well, okay. I'm going to make a motion right now, which I have here on the agenda, which is the KPFK Finance Committee requests from management a list of all premiums and their totals by program or programmer for the last 3 years. This is something Allegiant should be able to pull up in, you know, a relatively short time and to deal with what really is our revenue, our listener support, fund drives, where it comes from, who it comes from. If you're thinking about making cuts without looking at it, then you're just looking at politics and not actual numbers. So that's my motion, and we can discuss it.
Bella to the staff.
Go ahead, Bella.
Thank you. I appreciate that motion, Kim. I support it. However, I need to bring you again to the attention that if we do not get an accurate accounts payable aging report, it is useless because in the accounts payable aging report is where we get the detail as to which vendors provide what. From there, you can answer. Do not interrupt.
You're repeating, no, Thank you're repeating you. Yourself, Bella. Please. Please. And one
also,
other thing.
Also, I need to ask Barry the following. Based on what Anil sent us, he is mentioning that he said that we don't know how long the COVID shutdowns will be in place, and then is essential personnel needed as we do not have an automated system in place. And then he says, automation is being considered and cost-benefit analysis, it hasn't been completed yet. Barry, are you aware of this automation system? What is he referring to?
Well, he's basically referring to under the COVID-19 coronavirus quarantine in which if we are to go forward like we are today, we have to basically automate our fund drives as much as possible. We would have to do recordings instead of people who with live programmers or things of that nature. So that's what he's trying to do as far as how much would that would cost us involving, you know, call-ins and telemarketing, that kind of thing.
I did not quite understand you.
Then we want to find starting from...
Like the last fundraiser we had, there was a lot of...
Ken, you might want to mute yourself.
The length of this minus this.
Ken, do you want to be on the stack or are you just... You might want to mute yourself. Ken, hello?
I just muted Ken.
Okay.
Paulina requests the stack.
Go ahead, Paulina.
Barry needs to respond. I did not understand his response.
What he's speaking of is automating the fund drive and basically having someone else take care of the call.
Okay. So in other words, an outside service?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I wanted to hear. And what is the cost of this?
Right now, I think we pay, it's $1 per call, I believe it is.
So we need to have a budget for this, don't we?
The budget, it's in the budget. It's called Telerep.
It's called what?
Telerep.
Telerep. Okay. What is the number since I have not been able to open the budget? What is the full number? The amount.
I can't give you the full number. What, for the whole year?
No, for the budget, the calculation, if we automate that area.
Well, see, that would run you probably approximately around $1,100 a month if you have nobody answering the phone.
Got it. Okay. Okay, thanks.
Let me just interject here. Paulina's next, but I pulled out from the general ledger the telerep charges, which were in a couple of places in the general ledger. Some were in the telephone charge, which should not have been there. Some were in the fund drive charges or the telemarketing under development, which is the more appropriate place for it. So in 2020, we have spent year to date almost $18,000. In 2019, we spent about $13,000. So, see, those aren't in our P&Ls. So this is why it's, you know, we need better numbers to compare to this budget.
I agree.
Just as a starting point for further discussions on the budget. Paulina, you're next.
Thank you. Well, first, I believe that the motion that Kim proposed needed a second, and I didn't hear one, so I'll second it first. And then secondly, I'd like to clarify something about automation. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this has more to do with programming, and this might be the Houston model. So, for instance, in Houston, there is no engineer on the premises 24/7 or rarely ever. So what they do is they've implemented an automation that basically grabs the next show as it's being delivered to AudioPort and automatically puts it into traffic, right? So that means that they, you know, their engineer doesn't, they don't need to pay board operators, correct? There's just one head engineer, and maybe, if I'm not mistaken, Barry, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that in the context that I'm reading it, and we should really ask this question of Aniel,
yes.
What does he mean by automation? But I believe he might be considering that model that would allow us to not require the presence of a board operator at all times, right? So that's just my guess, but I would need, you know, I would pose that question to Aniel. I believe Houston is the only station that's doing that right now. I might be mistaken. Now, going back to the motion, Kim, I seconded it. I just want to clarify, when we're requesting premiums, what we mean is, should we be more specific about the figures we want? How much I'm just thinking, is it clear enough? We're requesting premiums. Are we requesting figures up to a specific date? Are we requesting fulfillment rates as well, you know, or is it just how much we have paid for premium, how many of them have been delivered? I mean, I don't know if that kind of detail needs to be clearly specified in the motion. Thank you.
Well, back up to the body. I mean, I know I've asked for this over the years and never gotten it. And I know it was possible with our previous system because I've seen it from KPFA. You can certainly amend this motion. It's up to the body what you want. Premiums, we can add amounts and fulfillment rate if possible,
If I may just follow up, clarify.
Please.
I would say we need to see at least, how much the premiums are costing us and how much the donations have been in response to the premium requested, right?
Yeah, I think the cost is going to be elsewhere, but I'm not sure. because that is in the budget. That is in the general ledger every month.
Right.
They're up to the stat,
but not per premium,
John,
is it?
John, into the queue.
Yeah, no. Yeah. But you can compare it with aggregate amount. I mean, you know. Okay. I heard Bella Evan Wenger.
Thank you. A few years ago, I was not on the board, and I wrote about this, that Pauline is absolutely correct. If we do not get the cost and the allocation against that of the revenue under each premium, then we're really not getting the full picture. Again, this is the reason why I keep bringing you back to an accounts payable aging report, so we can get the actual vendor and cost, and from there get the rest of the information from another source. Just like I have done the analysis of salaries against revenue to get a percentage. That's how we have to do that. So we need to define the criteria or perimeter of the information that we need per based on premiums, but sub-accounts of that, so that we get the cost, the name of the vendor, the cost, terms, frequency, and what is the actual income coming in. Thank you. And, Kim, you keep referring to the general ledger, and apparently you do not know the difference between a general ledger and a trial balance.
You said that before. Said that before, Bella. I have what I have, and I've been able to use it as I have, okay? It's better than just complaining about it. I've looked through it, and I've used what I can use. Wenger, you're next.
You do not have a general ledger.
That's fine, Bella. Stop. I don't care what you think about that. I've used it, not just complained about it, okay? Wenger, you're on.
Thank you. I have not been briefed on Allegiance. I do not think I've ever received I might have received a written report on Allegiance and what its capabilities are. I'm sure he's given this information to the LSV, and I don't remember getting any reports of that. So my memory needs to be filled and or refreshed. It's possible that Allegiance will have all this and make it trivial. And so I think before we make the demands, which might be onerous if they're impossible, as they were back in the days of MEMSIS, I think that MEMSIS is clearly onerous and impossible. With Allegiance, it may be possible and easy to do. So let's find out what can be done and maybe give Aniel a list of what we want, ideally. And if it's easy, then great. He'll get a big star behind us with him. Go get a gold star because he said Allegiance will help us, so that'll be great. So let's find out what the possible is and then ask for everything we have that makes sense to us. I'm done.
Okay, I just revised this motion. The KPFK Finance Committee requests from management a list of all premiums listed by totals from most to least by program, programmer, with the fulfillment rate and how much the premiums cost for the last 3 years.
And one more thing, and the net profit per premium. Gary Knowles' profit. Premiums often cost a lot and sometimes are at a loss. We should have the profit per premium so that and maybe rank order by those.
And loss, net loss and net profit.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Well, we just want information so we don't have to do the math in our head. Let the computer do the math.
Yeah, right. Net loss or gain?
Are we ready to approve? Is there any further discussion on this motion? Can we vote on it? Or is there any objection?
Well, my question is, Kim, do you accept my addition as a friendly amendment?
I just put that in, net profit.
Okay. Okay. Didn't hear that.
It should be net gain or profit. Should be gain, net loss or profit.
Right. Is there any are people ready to vote on this? Is there any objection to this motion going to the LSB tonight?
Can you read it, please?
The The KPFK Finance Committee requests from management a list of all premiums listed by totals from most to least by programmer with the fulfillment rate and how much the premiums cost and net profit for the last 3 years.
Net profit or loss? Net loss or profit, whichever way, but it has to be both.
It's Kim, comment. It's not clear whether the profit refers to the premium or to the program, and I think we really want to know both.
Good point.
I don't know
Paulina for the stack.
I don't know what you're talking about. A programmer has a pitch for a premium. Okay, they list the premium by the programmer. Okay, they list Christine's program by whatever it is she's selling for that stretch of that premium. Okay. Boku, whatever it is, that gets listed.
Okay, so it's on a per premium basis within programmers.
Right.
Okay, I get it. Just as long
Go
as that's
ahead.
Clear.
And look, you'll have time to revise this when management tells us they can't do it, okay? I mean, so this isn't a big deal about wordsmithing this. Pauline, go ahead.
Yeah, well, actually, that's a good point, Kim. Thank you. You kind of preempted the point I was going to make. I was going to say, look, this we're not requesting something where we're going to be evaluating the merits of each programmer's pitching skills because some programmers are now pitching without premiums, and that's a different, you know, a whole different animal. I don't think we want to be comparing apples and oranges. I would be favorable to approving this motion and revise it as needed once we have some kind of feedback from. Well, actually, I want to know if Barry's still on the call.
Lunchtime.
Hi, Barry.
I am.
No. Hey. So, I mean, I don't know whether we need to be influenced by whatever answer you might give, but. Do you, from your perspective, how much time would management need to provide this information?
I don't know. I can't give you an estimate. We're dealing with Allegiance with, you know, a new software program, and Carrie is the one that can pull that information out of it. Allegiance is supposed to be able to give us the net profit on each premium and what it costs KPFK to put that product on, and then what profit, what profit we make or what loss we make. So I'll have to
ask Helen Beek on the stack, please.
Okay.
So it should take, I don't know. I don't know how long it would take. I really don't know.
Okay.
I just added some wording to this where I said, listed by totals from most to least by programmer times each program has run. Okay.
Well, thank you. Very important.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay.
That's good.
Go ahead, Alan Beek.
It seems to me that John Winger is making the most sense in this conversation, and I think that his point that we need to negotiate with Anyo and work out what can be done and what cannot be done, and that he should be delegated if he can accept the responsibility to do that negotiating with Annual, because I think that by talking back and forth, we can figure out what's the best thing and most practical thing to do.
Okay, Alan, this is going to the LSB after this, and the LSB is going to be dealing with the budget. So I don't think, us non-LSB people really need to get into this right now. Okay, are we ready to vote on this motion, please?
Can you read
it? Are there any objections? Did you unmute Ken? Hello?
Hello, this is Ken.
Okay. Are we ready to vote on this?
Can you read it again, please?
Oh, please, Bella.
You added to it.
Yes, and I read it. Do people want this read again? Or are you ready to vote?
a suggestion, Kim. Check if there's no objections.
I'm asking, please. Are there any objections? I'm not hearing anything, so I will consider this approved, and we will move on.
This is Alan Beek, and I object to the motion because it's far too indefinite and vague.
Okay. So let's take a vote. Who? Grace, how do you vote on this motion?
You just asked for an objection.
Yes, Alan has an objection. Go ahead. Grace, how do you vote?
Yes.
Ken, how do you vote?
Yes.
Alan Beek? No.
No.
Fred Blair?
Yes.
Bella DeSoto?
Yes.
Dave Johnson?
Yes.
Steve Kaiser?
Yes.
Kim Kaufman votes yes. Michelle Manos is not here. Michael Novick?
Yes.
Janine Rome, not here. Paulina?
Yes.
Okay, so this is approved.
I don't get to vote. I don't get to vote.
Oh, I'm sorry, Wenger. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see it here. Wenger, go ahead.
Yes, that makes it 10 to 1.
All right. Thank you. I'm sorry, I just...
No problem, I get it.
Yeah. Okay.
It's complicated. It's complicated running a meeting.
Well, I just... Anyways, I have one more comment to make on this budget, and Barry, once again, for the third year in a row, we have no fund drive chart. This was requested. It's not in the budget template. I
Hold
would
on.
Like to see a fund drive chart. You know,
you
all the revenue that for the in the budget is just fantasy revenue. It's not based on anything concrete.
Yes, it is based on last year's fund drive.
That's not okay. No.
Fund drive.
No. You've run. I've lost count. I lost count on how many fund drive days have been performed this year. We need how many days, what days, how much you expect to raise every day in a chart. And if you put it in the budget template, it will do the math automatically and put it in the revenue. So you're not basing it on last year because these fund drive days are out of control. We need to see how many fund drive days you are planning and what kind of fund drive days you're planning and how much per day you're expecting assuming you're going to get. That's what I need to see in order to have anything more than just fantasy revenue, okay? So start with the fund drive days and the per day amount that you're expecting to bring in, and then we can go from there as to revenue.
Okay. All right, I'll give it to you.
That's what I mean by historical data.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's based on, last year's fund drive.
Yeah, but last year's fund drive was not based on any real numbers. You had 138 fund drive days, and you had 90 in the first half of this year. And I've lost count of how many in
the
second half of
the
year.
Kim, I can't change the numbers for you, okay? It is what it is. Whatever the
performance
was
last
year, that's what it was. Okay? That's what it was. I can't change it for you.
That's right, Barry. But we take what you did last year and, you know, what's happened in the second half of the year. We got to see a fund drive chart. What is your per day expectation based on what kind of fund drive days you're going to have in the next year? That's where the revenue comes from.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
You and Nell need to work that out. Does everybody else understand what I'm...
I will give you the estimated fund drive days for the fiscal year 21, okay?
Yeah, I mean, doesn't everybody agree that's what we need to see?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so I'm done here, covered a lot. We have next week to, you know, cover a little bit more. Fred, do you have anything to say from the MFC?
Well, I've been thinking about it. The only thing, there hasn't been a lot of communication within the AFC for the last couple of weeks, or for the last week. We're scheduled to talk about budget timeline and getting getting station budgets. If this KPFK budget can be gotten into shape that people feel that it's somewhat reasonable, I can present it to the NFC for the station. But I don't think it's ready for the NFC even at this point.
Oh, no. No, no. It's a long way away.
So,
it's a long way away.
So, my only understanding, the next NFC meeting is next Wednesday. Next Tuesday. Next Tuesday, the 14th. And my understanding is we're going to spend most of the meeting on budgets. Talking about generating budgets. And maybe some updates on the PPP loan and how we can actually use the money. And I'm not sure people got it today that we cannot use any of this PPP money for the payroll that was paid through April through June.
Well, I understand.
So it starts with July.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Fred, it starts with July.
Right. That's what Fred said.
Well, that's what I said. I said we cannot use it for payroll that's been paid April through June. So
July.
That payroll money has been paid. You know, it's out, you know, we can't do anything about it, unfortunately.
That was to the staff.
Fred, maybe you can ask Nita at the NFC exactly how much KPFK was allocated, because that's a number I would like to know.
I have a question, too.
It seems that, that the number that was stated, I think, by Barry was, what, $350,000? That seems a little high, because the rest, you know, looking at Pacifica's total payroll of about, I believe if you look at the consolidated P&L statement, the total payroll is something like $970,000 per month. It seems like the amount that the station, that KPFK should be allocated would be about, somewhere around in the order of $170,000 to $200,000.
Well, can you ask it, Nita? Next week?
I will. I will ask Nita. I will follow up on the committee's request with Nita at the next NFC meeting. I commit to that.
Okay.
So that's okay. About that. That's all. That's all I have to say at this point on the NFC.
That's fine. Bella, go ahead.
Thank you. Originally, when Ken spoke of the PPP funding, he was talking about covering the payroll for Retro in June, but we couldn't. How could we? We got it at the end of June. It has to go forward, July forward. This PPP funding is only going to cover us barely for July, barely. I gave you the average, how much is needed. You were not paying attention. I did an average for the income for the last 8 months and for the salaries, the payroll. So it's just barely going to do it. So I want us to be sure that we are going to cover many questions raised from the documentation we recently received based on the inspection that was done by Lawrence Reyes. And there are many questions. So it's not just for budget. It's encompassing everything that we are not able to cover here. Okay, thanks.
Wenger.
This is Grace for the stack.
Wenger's next.
I pass.
Go ahead, Grace.
Okay, I gave you some incorrect information.
But let me read you something from something that I just found. So the what can be used...
What are you reading from? What are you reading from?
I'm reading from a information about the PPP loan. I tried
from where?
At the SBA site itself,
okay.
But it's extremely complicated. It's not from the SBA
uh-huh.
site, but this is just some information. It's probably correct, though. What you can use it on has been changed. So it's now 60% payroll costs, which includes salaries, wages, commissions, tips, bonuses, or hazard pay, $100,000 gross earnings max per employee, employee benefits, vacation, parental, family, medical, or sick leave, separation pay, group health care coverage, and retirement benefits, state and local taxes assessed on compensation. 40% can be used on non-payroll costs, interest on mortgages, mortgages incurred before February 15th, 2020, rent, leases dating back before February 15th, 2020, utilities, service agreements dated before February 15th, 2020. Also, they're saying that it may not be possible. It says keep your employee headcount up. So we may not be able to make a significant reduction
great,
in employees.
Great, maybe you can just send that to us and we can read it.
Yeah, it's just one
okay.
other thing, and it's to be careful not to reduce an employee's wages by more than 25%. I'll send this
okay.
to everybody, and then
okay,
more
well.
Research can be done. Okay.
Can you tell us what is the national, the PNB, doing regarding your motion of last month?
It's being dealt with right now by management, but it will be coming up on agendas.
Well, what do you mean management? Who's management?
The interim executive director, in conjunction with and the general managers, and NETA, and with oversight by the board.
Well, I haven't said anything. I mean, you know, Lydia asked for a meeting at the PNB for finances 2 months ago, and that hasn't happened. Hey, Steve Kaiser, please mute yourself. So, I mean, what is going on?
You know what, Kim? Because about 90% of our expenses, or some large percentage of our expenses, especially at KPFK, are payroll expenses. What is happening specifically is controversial and confidential. So I would not expect any specific detailed information about what's being done to be talked about in an open session.
Okay, so basically there's nothing other than just payroll personnel.
I didn't say that. I'm saying that because, I mean, there are fixed expenses at the other stations, it's unlikely that, you know, any of these stations are going to knock out their office rent or their tower rent.
Okay, we're just dealing with KPFK, Grace, but I got
right,
it.
I understand. At KPFK,
right.
You've seen the expenses. What percent are would you consider that are cuttable are payroll?
As I told you, I don't do percentages, okay? The number all that we've based all your motion, you know, this 30% number is based on not good numbers. So I'm just wondering where these numbers are coming from that y'all are dealing with, because we're just starting on this journey of getting, like, better numbers here, okay? So you're doing what you're doing on the – Della, don't interrupt me.
Okay.
You
I
know,
think that this
there,
is
there, there's
better.
Stuff going – there are two different trains here, you know, right now, and they should be working together. And
okay.
That's why I'm
I don't
asking.
Understand that. I don't understand that. So if you could explain that, I would appreciate it.
Well, we're working with very fuzzy numbers at KPFK on expenses, not just payroll. We're looking through the general ledger to try and get this stuff, you know, in better shape. Anyways,
okay, if I have any other information that's not confidential, I'll send it to this committee, to you and to this committee. Right now, I don't.
Okay.
Fred might have some, but I don't.
Okay.
Can I ask Grace a question? It appears from what...
I was on the staff.
But
I'm going to let Fred speak, Bella, because you've spoken a great deal here, and anybody else want to hear from other people. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, and I also am the treasurer, Bella. It appears that the new rules are more generous for the PPP money, that we can spend it on other things than payroll and still have it forgiven. So I'm interested in finding out more details. That's the important thing I take away, that we can spend it on non-payroll items, because we have a lot of debt that's been building up that's non-payroll in the last couple of months. And what happens with central services? We know that KPFK owes $180,000 of central services for this year. And it would be nice to pay some of that, back central services. And that's about.
Okay, thank you, Fred. Yeah, these are questions to ask Nita, Fred, to go over with, we can't do anything here today. I have one more question for Barry. Barry, do you have, I know you have the budget template. Can you pull it out and send it to us?
No, I'm not going to do that. You can only have the summary sheet that I've given you, and you can work from there.
No, the budget template.
The budget template.
There's nothing in there. It's dummy numbers. There are no good numbers in there.
There's sensitive information in the budget template, okay?
Well, if it's a template, then it's not sensitive information. A budget template has no sensitive information in it. It has dummy numbers in it.
No, the budget template has information regarding salary. It has a lot of different information in it.
Okay, well, you can send it to Fred. He's allowed to see it, okay? And he can send it to Nita. Because they need to know what the budget template looks like. I don't think anybody on the NFC or few people remember. So, Barry, if you can send that to Fred, you'll let Fred deal with it. And we would appreciate that.
I will. I think I have it. I will look for it. I have a question. I have a question for Grace. Grace, are you there? Is Grace on the call?
I'm here, but does the parent want to recognize me?
Yeah, go ahead, Grace.
Okay, Grace, you just asked a question a few minutes ago. How much is the payroll monthly? I did an average, and it's in your inbox. I sent it yesterday for the last few months since October 2020 through May. And the average is $176,840.31. So you can tie that in. That is the number average per month.
Okay. Yeah, it's on the P&L.
It's not on the P&L.
Okay.
Do we have anything else? Because I'm ready to adjourn this. And I did have a closed session here as optional. I would like to do it. I have some things I'd like to say. What does the group want to do?
That's fine, yes.
Okay, this is Ken. I move that we have a closed session for 20 minutes.
And this includes the public members of the Finance Committee?
Yes. It's just the members of the Finance Committee, not management. And, you know, I think you can take us off the stream, Fred, and...
We have to adjourn the meeting for the closed session.
No, we're recessing this meeting to next week, so we don't have to make a new agenda because we're going to be dealing with the same issues.
For the archive, you just close it and reopen.
Yes, Bella, please stop.
Okay.
Recessing this meeting. This meeting is over. The open session is over until next Wednesday at 4 o'clock.